What is up, degenerates? We are into week 7 already. Time flies when you're having fun. I'm your host, Steve Sampson. I'm joined this week by my co-host, Mr. Ben Steffen. Ben, how you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good tonight. Been a busy week at work. Excited to talk about some fantasy football tonight. And the Panthers can't lose this week, so I'm very excited about that as well.
They'll stay at 0-6 for another week.
That's right.
Well, the Patriots can't lose this week, so I'm in for another depressing week, but it is what it is. So Diego is not with us this evening. His wife is holding him ransom, and none of us want to fork up the 10 bucks to get him out. So we are joined by a friend of the show and San Diego Chargers fan, Ryan Roloff. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing good. Happy to join in and fill in when I can.
I guess I said San Diego Chargers. I guess I should say Los Angeles Chargers.
No, that was appropriate.
Back when they were so good. Interesting week of football. I don't know how many games you guys were able to watch. I watched a lot of Red Zone, and it was interesting. I saw like 3 Patriots highlights on the 4 o'clock slate from Red Zone, so I feel like I watched the whole game. I think I saw 1 Panthers highlight, too.
We had a good first half.
You did. The first 2 touchdowns. That was pretty much it.
And Adam Thielen had about 11 catches. So,
yeah. Now he's a monster. And we will talk about him later, too. I know that. That's kind of the bright spot on that team for you guys, other than your defense until people started getting hurt. But
yeah, we got some changes coming there. New play caller starting this week. So, or next week, I guess, after the bye. So, it should be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I did find that interesting. And I was listening to one of the shows on the NFL channel on Sirius, and they were kind of talking about it too. And I mean, I understand it where you're 0-6, and it seems that Frank Reich is making some mistakes, but it just kind of seems like he's trying to find a scapegoat at this point. Oh, see, it wasn't just me that was bad. It was you. Now you're out of here.
Yeah.
So this guy's got nothing but pressure on him at this point. So we'll see what happens with that. Ryan, what did you think of the game Monday night with your Chargers?
Oh, man. I mean, I always want to give a little bit of a scapegoat with him having injured his finger, even though it was a non-throwing hand. It just kind of throws you off having that. But at the same time, I feel like this is Herbert's like worst game this year. Our defense wasn't handling it. We even had some bad, offensive calls. And sadly enough, we made Dak Prescott look relevant. So it is what it is with it. And, the chokers, we do what we do best.
Yeah, show up for 3 quarters and then lose.
Mm-hmm. But at least we make primetime games fun.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I mean, Dallas's defense is really good, and they've been good. Their offense kind of seemed like they were clicking a little bit here and there, but you did make Dak look a little bit better than what he's played this year. And mm-hmm. I kind of expected more from your offense with Kellen Moore, because this really was a revenge game. And I feel like it kind of fell short. They couldn't really get Eckler going, which is sad. And, I mean, they did have, that touchdown to Palmer call back, which was terrible. And I think they had 1 more big play that got called back as well to Palmer, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or illegal man downfield.
Yeah, that's exactly. The illegal man downfield was towards the end of the game, too, and that one hurt a lot.
Yeah. So
just the slight things. And those are always the things that hold the Chargers back, and
I mean, I don't think it's even been just the Chargers this year. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like the games this week, a lot of them were just kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it just me that saw that, or did you guys think the same thing?
Yeah. So for me, I was driving most of the 1 o'clock slate of games. I did have Red Zone on my phone mounted. Don't tell the police, but it didn't seem like there was a lot going on, and there was a lot of fluff time than usual on Red Zone. So it didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on. And then a slew of injuries, which I think also attributed to that, because that killed the Niners game with CMC and Debo going out, Fields going down, things like that kind of muddied the water a little bit, I'll say. And then you got a lot of backups coming in that weren't ready or weren't doing anything.
Yeah. Well, there definitely was a lot of big name injuries mm-hmm. this week, and that definitely influences it. So, all right. So speaking of injuries and stuff like that, let's jump into the news. There's a few things to go over for this week, and then we'll touch on the several injuries to look at this week.
Breaking news.
So as Ben mentioned before, the teams on bye this week, we've got the Panthers out, the Titans, the Jets, Bengals, Cowboys, and Texans. So six teams, several good fantasy options that won't be available this week. So you're probably going to be looking at waivers already. You know, some teams are going to be struggling to fill the roster for the week, especially with all the injuries. So good luck with that. Hopefully, if you can't fill it, you're playing me.
My
I'm selfish trying to think, but I need some wins.
My listener league team, my entire bench is on bye at the moment right now. Yeah. So I'm praying my starting roster makes it through the week of practice and makes the field, or else I'm screwed. Because I've looked at waivers and there's nothing left.
No, and you guys have a lot better. Like, your teams all have much better records. Things are a little bit closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're in rough shape. I'm playing Moz this week, and I should, as long as Barkley plays, I'll have my entire starting roster back, which is great, because I haven't had it all season, and I'm 2-4. So I really need some wins.
Yeah, you got to pick it up. Start representing for the show.
Tell me about.
I'm holding it down here at 5-1. Yeah. Like, let's go.
And I'm loving life at the bottom.
It's okay. Diego's sucking too. So.
Yeah. Well, Diego has an excuse. He can blame it on taking over Brian's team. He's got to sacrifice some chickens and
get the curse off.
Get the curse off. But for me, it's been a slow start, and things are finally starting to look up. I think everybody's healthy, and hopefully I can get things going, because I need to string a couple of wins together. All right, so it's announced today Anthony Richardson is having season-ending surgery, so he'll be out for the rest of the year. Gardner Minshew is the starting quarterback in Indianapolis, unless they decide to trade for somebody, but I don't see that happening. Kyler Murray was designated to return from the PUP list today. That gives them 21 days to either activate him off of the PUP or put him on IR at that point. So originally, I think we were speculating in the offseason, at the beginning of the season, getting him back around week 8. So it's kind of looking like that's probably going to be right around where he comes back, week 8 or week 9. Ben, do you think they bring him back and then try to trade him before the deadline, or do you think they're going to bring him back to play him? Because, I mean, Josh Dobbs hasn't looked terrible for what we expected from Arizona this year.
Yeah. He's signed, right? Like, he got his big deal.
Yeah. Okay. No, he has a big deal. So
I'm going to guess that they let him play and try to think that the team is better than it probably is and build up some value and then maybe trade him. But I think he's going to play some games for Arizona, whether that's the whole season, and they might just make that move in the offseason to move him, especially if they have a high pick still. Because even with Kyler Murray healthy, I don't think this team wins too many more games, if any. It'd be nice to see him play well, and then they can make a move to get more for him, because I think otherwise they're going to trade pennies on the dollar and get burned. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Dobbs is on that 1-year contract, so why not just run it out? Why injure, try to even do anything to Kyler Murray, especially if they want to keep their options open on their picks? I mean, they have two potential first-round picks. I mean, who would have thought the Texans were going to be doing really well? So, I mean, that could have been a top 10. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
But their pick for sure will be up there, and they will. I just have this feeling it makes more sense for them to draft a quarterback than not to. And then just reap the rewards of Kyle Murray that can come with a good trade.
Yeah.
Oh, I absolutely believe that. Yeah. I think he's gone. It's just a matter of when.
It's just when. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would think like, and that's why like the, so talking about the trade deadline is Halloween. So it's 2 weeks from yesterday. We're recording on Wednesday night. So it's the 31st of October. It's a Tuesday at 4 p.m. I kind of wish he was back, you know, like they would be bringing him back to play like this week and next week to get him out there. Because there's a few teams that could definitely use a veteran quarterback right now to, you know, that are good enough for at least potential to get into the playoffs. And I think they could make a trade happen, you know, this year instead of, like Ben says, having to wait until next year, because I don't think he's going to get much play time before, you know, before the deadline.
If any, yeah.
Yeah, so. Because, I mean, Arizona's in a great spot with Dobbs. They're 1-5. They're playing well, but they're not winning games. And so they can actually see what they have and evaluate some talent that way and, you know, use that high pick to pick up their franchise quarterback, the guy that they want, because, you know, they're inheriting Murray, and I don't think they want him there, you know, even with the pass regime at this point. So that will be interesting. But I do agree. I think whether it's now or in the offseason, he is going to get traded.
Yeah, it's just kind of like exactly what Ben was saying. It's which side do you want to fall on? Do you want to play him a little bit to get some intrigue on a trade this season, or do you hold him off so he doesn't get re-injured or gets fully healthy so he's a better asset in the off season?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and find out. I would expect him to at least see the field in a couple of weeks. So, all right, so. So that covers up the news. There's not a whole lot to report. No international games this week, so feel free to sleep in on Sunday. That's kind of a nice benefit. The next games will be in Frankfurt, and those are going to be week 9 and week 10. So get a couple of weeks to relax. So we'll jump in and talk about this last week's injuries and where those players kind of stand.
The injury report.
So Kyren Williams suffered what looked like a high ankle sprain. So all of this information, according to Pro Football Docs. And so they're expecting him to be out multiple weeks and probably until right after their week 10 bye. Given we're going into week 7, it only makes sense for him to come back, you know, after their bye. That gives him a full 3 weeks to rest, come back week 11. That's usually right around that timeline for a high ankle sprain anyways. Are you guys interested at all in the Rams backfield with him out, Ben?
No, not really. Cooper Kupp's back. Puka's still there. I think they're just going to air it out more until he's back like they did the first half of last week. They'll just continue to do that, I think. And then they'll sprinkle running backs in there. Some guys will get maybe a touchdown here and there, but it's going to be really hard to figure that out consistently for the next couple of weeks. So I'd probably just avoid it most likely, unless you need a spot start this week. There are a lot of teams on bye, so if you have to, take a shot. But I think it's Evans, right?
Yeah, Zach Evans.
Yeah, it's not sexy or anything, but if you need a start, like, go nuts.
Yeah. I know Luke's heavily invested in him in a lot of the leagues I'm in with him. So, and I picked him up a few places just because I do need that spot start. Cause I was planning on having Williams to get me through this week's bye. Ryan, your thoughts on the backfield?
Yeah, I was going to say just the running back apocalypse this season just makes it evident that, you know, some teams are just going to have to try, you know, Zach Evans or whoever else is back there. So,
yeah,
that's me, sure. In most leagues.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people went light on running backs this year, and now we're paying for it. So
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the first time I switched it up this year where I didn't take, you know, running backs. Usually, you know, I'm usually like a, I can always find a wide receiver type. But this year I was like, oh, dude, like, no. I can get the back end. Because last year I felt like there was a lot of mid to late draft running backs that, like, were successful. And this year it's the complete opposite, so.
Yeah. No, there definitely was last year. And, you know, injuries have played a part in that too, so. Speaking of running backs, David Montgomery suffered a rib cartilage injury. He's expected to miss probably at least 1 week, and then it'll become a pain tolerance thing. I would guess that, you know, when he does come back, he's probably going to wear a flak jacket for a couple of weeks just to kind of guard those ribs from some of the impacts, and he'll play with the pain as much as he can tolerate it. So I would look for him to miss 1 to 2 weeks. Ryan, any interest at all in the rest of the Detroit Lions running back group? I believe Gibbs is supposed to be back this week, but not at 100% because he's coming off that hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that we all hate hamstring injuries, either during the year or before in practice and or in the offseason. And it just – it definitely is a letdown, but it I feel like Gibbs as a whole, I mean, being the number 12th pick, like, I felt like he should have been more involved, and they just been like, let's just ride the hot hand, you know, it'll be fine next year kind of thing. So that's been really, really a little bit confusing for me. I figured Gibbs would, especially with being down a receiver and they're not having, besides like Amon-Ra, and I mean, Reynolds has definitely stepped up too, but I thought there'd be a lot more, you know, action in there in the passing game. So hopefully that picks up towards the end of the year. But, I mean, Craig Reynolds, I mean, again, it's running back apocalypse. So if you can grab somebody that can start and is getting 10, you know, reps or more, then I think that's pretty nice.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Ben?
I'm just hoping we can see Jahmyr Gibbs, but I don't know if it's going to be happening. If I had to, like, there's places I have to start him, so I'm going to be starting him. But I think I would prefer to start Reynolds if I had to pick between the two. It's hard to say. Like, I want to – my instinct on a lot of these questions for running backs is avoid. But with the situations across the league, injuries everywhere, guys banged up but still playing, you kind of really don't have a choice other than to start the healthiest option on some of these offenses, and the Lions do score a lot. So I think Craig Reynolds is a safe flex play, or if you need a running back for this week.
All right. Chris McCaffrey injured his oblique on Monday night, and he may miss some time. Again, that's going to be pain management. Do they play Monday night again?
Yes.
Okay. And yeah. So they played Sunday. Yeah. So they got a Monday night game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to, like, I need to start McCaffrey in a couple of spots, and I don't have a replacement if he goes on Monday night, or if he doesn't go on Monday night. So I have to decide, you know, early Sunday, whether or not I think he's going to play. So it's definitely something to monitor. But keep in mind, he came in for one play after he injured it and went right to the locker room afterwards. So I don't expect him to play, even with having the extra day this week. I think, you know, he probably rests it and comes back next week. But it's definitely something to monitor. I think Elijah Mitchell's finally back. So, you know, they actually have a serviceable running back this week to fill in if McCaffrey's out. So that may, you know, be the deciding force in it too. Ben?
I did see some reports that he has a chance to play on Monday. Like, there's a possibility he suits up, but I mean, if he plays, you're playing Christian McCaffrey. You're never sitting the guy. Elijah Mitchell played last week and was not good. I think he was negative yards.
Yeah, but he'd only played a few snaps.
And Mason seemed to be fine. That might be the play, like the move, because I don't know if he was really snagged too much on waivers, and you might be able to grab him, stash him, and then if CMC goes, you put him in. If not, you throw in one of the other two if you went that direction. But it's the curse of Monday night injuries for running backs. Like, what do? You can't really wait. And if you have another option, you go and play somebody else from Sunday, and then CMC ends up suiting up on Monday night, and you look like an idiot. So,
that happened with me with Saquon this week.
Been there. Yeah.
Ryan?
No, I feel the exact same way as Ben. Just say, if CMC's playing, I mean, you have to just put him out there. I feel like outside of fantasy-wise, it makes sense. I feel like they can beat the Vikings without him. I'm not, maybe not, but I would say rest him if they can. But fantasy-wise, I would hope he's on the field.
Yeah, given the Vikings' woes and not having Justin Jefferson, I do think San Francisco can beat them. But we also thought they should have no problems with Cleveland, so anything can happen.
Cleveland actually has a good defense, though.
They do. They have a really good defense. Minnesota has one of the worst, so
yeah.
That is a big difference. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a possible play still for Thursday after tweaking his left knee. They're optimistic that he's going to suit up for Thursday night's game. Definitely something to monitor. At least he's going early in the week. So if he doesn't play, you can pivot to another option. Unfortunately, it's Thursday, so you've already missed a decent amount of pickups on waivers if you weren't able to plan ahead. So hopefully he plays and you can put him out there, unless you're Ben and you don't want him to play.
He needs to rest that knee. That's all.
Then hopefully he rests that knee.
One more week of rest, buddy. Don't stress it.
Don't rush back. Yeah. Justin Fields dislocated his thumb on his throwing hand. He's going to be out multiple weeks. I don't think, unless you're desperate, any of us are looking to start that the backup, right? I can't even remember what his name is. He didn't look terrible after the initial play. Seemed to calm down and made some decent throws, but I don't expect a whole lot out of him, fantasy-wise.
Is that the kid Reed's trying to sell everybody?
I think so. Yeah.
What's his name? Exactly. I don't even know.
Badgett.
Yeah.
Tyson Badgett. Yeah. So, I mean, he was 10 of 14 for 83 yards. I mean, he threw a pick, but he also ran in for a touchdown. Only had one sack. I mean, those are better numbers than Fields has had most games this season. So, I mean, it's not terrible. You could definitely tell he was unprepared, but they're going against the Raiders this week. I don't know. I mean, unless I'm desperate, I don't think I'm starting him. You guys looking at him at all?
No.
I mean, only one league I would look at him, just because I'm desperate. But yeah, I wouldn't even glance otherwise. But that game should be interesting because I think it's going to be both backups.
It's going to be backup versus backup, yeah.
Yeah, is it going to be Brian Hoyer? Is it going to be Adrian? Yeah, Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to me, if I'm McDaniels and you're looking at going against Badgett, why not put the rookie out and give him another shot? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? I mean, he needs the experience. Hoyer's got the experience. It's not like, let's face it, you're in the AFC West. It's not like you're going to get a wild card spot out of that division. So,
no.
I mean,
yeah.
You might as well see what you have at this point. Jimmy Garoppolo got a back injury. There's no current timeline that I can find as to when he's going to return. So you may be without Jimmy for a few weeks. Daniel Jones had a neck injury, didn't play last week. Still no real timeline either for him on when he's going to return. I think he's expected back this week, but I wouldn't count on it. It's not the same neck injury either that he had last year. This is a different one. Deshaun Watson still dealing with the rotator cuff contusion. They say he's day-to-day. Still not sure if he's going to play. His comments are that he doesn't want to put the team in jeopardy. says to me, just doesn't want to play. And the last one, Deebo Samuel, suffered a shoulder injury in the Sunday game in the first quarter. He was out almost immediately. Haven't found a whole lot of news on just what the severity of that is and a timeline for him either. So monitor that. I think this would, if he had to miss a week, this would probably be the best week to do it.
Yeah, from what I hear, he's on the same, they gave him the same kind of like timeline as Christian McCaffrey. They're like, oh, he could play Monday.
Yeah. Shanahanigans.
Yeah. They're the worst for that.
They are. So just keep an eye on Deebo. And in my opinion, if you get to Sunday and they're still skeptical and they won't give you an answer on whether he's playing or not, you don't start him. As much as I'd like to see him out there with the mystery injury right now and as quick as he went out, I wouldn't take the chance on Sunday if you got somebody else that you could put in there. Now, if I had another option for Monday night on the opposite side of the ball, sure, I'd take the chance. But anything on Deebo from you guys, Ben?
No, just see what's out there, see what's happening. If he's not out there, it's going to be all Ayuk and Kittle. So just monitor. It's easier to replace a wide receiver in a flex spot than it is to find a second quarterback on Monday night. So just keep an eye on it and tread lightly.
So that'll wrap up the injuries. We'll move on to, you know, some trade targets here in the middle of the season that we're looking at on the teams that we're winning on to try and make that extra push down the stretch to make the playoffs. We've each got a guy from each position that we're kind of looking at maybe going out and trying to trade for, depending on what our team is and, you know, obviously what the price is for those players from the person who has them. So, Ben, who do you have for a quarterback that you're kind of targeting right now in your redraft leagues or even some of your dynasty leagues where you got kind of a nice lead and you're looking at making that push?
Yeah, so a guy I've made actually some dynasty league offers for in super flex leagues and even single quarterback leagues where my quarterbacks might be the thing holding me back a bit. It's really hard to go out there and trade for Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow because you're giving up a lot. But I like going after Jared Goff this year. Not a super sexy name, but he's been very consistent points-wise, which is what I like to see from quarterbacks because a quarterback getting you like 4 or 5 or negative or something like that off a pick or whatever, those things can sewer your week instantly. A 24, 25, which I think is right around where he's been most weeks, is what you want for consistency, especially if the rest of your team is looking pretty good. And I don't think you'd have to give up too much of a premium to swap for Jared Goff. So that's a target I like.
I mean, he's a quarterback, what, 5?
Something like that. It's just the name. The name is never a sexy name to go after. Like, you never feel good buying him, but I feel like you can pay probably a little more than you thought you should because he's been worth it the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I know he's out there on waivers in a few leagues that I'm in redraft, and he's definitely been somebody I've been looking at taking a chance with. Ryan, who are you targeting in some of your leagues?
So for a QB, I really like Jordan Love just because he's past that bye week. I feel like some people are still iffy on him, but he's putting up some decent numbers. He'll get you through that you need to do. So he's kind of somebody I look at. And to be honest, Ben, you chose the biggest target. Honestly, Jared Goff is excellent, I feel like, all the way through to the end, and he's still not getting the recognition he wants. But if I could pivot off that one, it would be Jordan Love.
Okay. Obviously Ryan hasn't been listening to the show very often.
I have. I'm just saying, I don't know what it is. He looks he just puts up the fantasy numbers. I'm not going to say he's going to be relevant actual NFL-wise, but he does what he needs to do.
Yeah. No, he has. He's definitely put up fantasy numbers other than week five. He's been close to 20 points a week. So it's not a bad option, and it's not a sexy option. So you may be able to get a pretty decent deal on him, because people that watch him play and don't really look at all the fantasy points will probably let him go at a relatively inexpensive price.
Yeah, he's an under-the-radar guy.
Yeah. The guy that I'm kind of looking at that's owned, obviously, you know, you can kind of stumble on some guys that are not owned on waivers, especially with the bye weeks the way they are. But a guy that I'm kind of looking at trading, I think better days are ahead for him, is Dak Prescott. They're on a bye this week, which may be a way to get a decent price on him. You can, you know, trade an active quarterback for the week to pick him up if somebody's kind of in a spot where they need a better starting option than, you know, somebody off of waivers like Ritter or Josh Dobbs or Russell Wilson. He's got a couple of tough matchups against the Rams and the Eagles. I was going to say the Phillies again and the Eagles, but then he's got the Giants, the Panthers, Washington, Seattle, before he goes back, you know, once we get into fantasy playoffs, he's got Philly, Buffalo, Miami, and then Detroit. So he's got some favorable matchups in there to kind of get you down the stretch. So might be a cheap option to get you a few wins, you know, in the middle games where you really need him, getting close to that end. So running backs, there's a few different running backs out there, especially that are still healthy. It kind of limits on what's available for you to trade. Ryan, who are you kind of eyeballing at the running back position?
So I find that, it's so tough. Like I've been saying, it's been an apocalypse down there for running backs. Somewhat have I seen that you guys were looking at kind of the same targets as me, but to be a little outside, I'm kind of thinking maybe somebody to get you through that's been consistent. He just is not putting up the numbers right now is, you know, Jared Cook. The only problem is his name and the offense that he's on. He's going to be a hard trade target, but he is somebody that I would look at to try to acquire. Just because, I mean, he's consistent. I mean, what is he putting up, 12 points a game? I mean, it's not a lot, but it's right now the running back is like a tight end area right now. So 12 points is good.
Yeah. Ben.
Yeah, I took just a guy on an offense that I think will keep humming. They're going to have a good season. He's going to get his chances for touchdowns. He seems to be the guy that they're leaning on most of the game. With Isaiah Pacheco, he does run kind of crazy and he looks a little wild out there, but they seem to like him. Mahomes seems to like him, and I think they're just going to keep rolling with him. Clyde seems to be done, and McKinnon's getting less and less usage, so I think Pacheco's the back to own there. Again, the same kind of situation as James Cook, not putting up extremely sexy numbers, so, and it's not a really big name. Like, it's not a Barkley, it's not a McCaffrey or somewhere where you're gonna have to pay for the name. If you can go out and get Pacheco, I like that option.
Yeah, no, Pacheco's a solid option. Like you say, he's on a good team. I actually own him quite a few places, so I can stand right behind you on that one.
Sorry to interrupt you real quick right there, Steve, but yeah. I would say Pacheco, if he wasn't already picked by Ben right here, I think he's my number one choice.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a slow start, and he's definitely come on the last couple of weeks, so not a bad pick at all. So I switched my pick here, listening to you guys, and I was going to go with Damian Pierce, which is also a solid option. But I think looking at schedules going into, you know, up through the fantasy playoffs, you know, some of my teams where I need a little bit of help getting some wins down, you know, I'm 3-3 or 2-4, still have a good team and I'm starting to get some players back. He's a guy that I kind of might want to have. He's got the Giants coming up, the Eagles, the Patriots, Seahawks, the Giants again, then Dallas and Miami go in until they get the Week 14 bye. So some real soft matchups there. He's been kind of hit or miss. He has a good week, then a bad week. But it's been consistent with that. But, he's already put up 12 points against the Eagles. Gets them one more time. Struggle a little bit against Buffalo, but you're still getting almost 10 points out of him against a tough defense. And I don't think his price is going to be super expensive, depending on who has him. But he's definitely somebody that might be worth trying to grab because, right now he's right around the running back 15, and he's somebody that could creep into the top 10 with the opportunity he's going to have going up, up through week 14. I don't know that I want to play him in the playoffs, but it depends on, the teams that they're going up against and how injured they are on defense.
He's been solid on the teams that I own him, and I haven't really looked at moving him anywhere. So yeah, I think that's a really good option. Again, you're playing on the name not being a huge name. Like, obviously everyone who plays fantasy football knows who he is, but you're not paying the big name value. And I think that's really important when you're trying to go for it. You don't want to trade away your top end talent that you currently have to try to improve at a soft position like the running back right now and get go after a McCaffrey, go after a Barkley, go after Josh Jacobs or somebody like that, that you want to tie the name and draft capital to. Cause I think all that stuff's out the window at this point, and you're just paying, you want to pay for production. And if you can pay for silent production, that's cheaper. So
yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
And you're correct when you say that draft capital's out the window.
Absolutely.
At this point, except that, with the seasoned players in redraft, that's 100% true. With the not so seasoned players, or as we call them in the French listener league, amateurs, draft capital still plays a part in their decision making process, yeah, which is kind of tough. But
so for the people listening to us, go take advantage of that, yeah, and trade some, yeah, of those guys that you paid high picks for that aren't panning out for the guys that they didn't pay up for and are really producing.
Right.
We got a couple more of those, yeah, coming up here in the wide receivers by the looks of it.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll move into the wide receivers, and Ben, I know you want to talk about your guy. So
yeah, the wide receiver 3 on the season, I believe it's 3 or 4, Adam Thielen. If you can go get him, this is a redraft only, or you're selling out to win in Dynasty, he's a great ad. Even on the teams I have him, I've moved him because I'm rebuilding and I've spent 2 years trying to trade this guy, and it's finally paying off. I ended up getting a first round pick. I think it's a 2026 first, but I got one. So I was pretty happy with that. If you can add him to a contending team and you're not giving up premium assets, or you are giving up a premium asset and can get Thielen plus, that's a win. There's a chance I'm going to go look at a guy who's trying to make a turnaround. I think he's 2-4 at this point. He's got Thielen, and I'm 3-3, and I've got, or sorry, I'm 3-4, but I have the most points in the league. So I want to trade away Davante Adams, and I try to get Thielen plus. And if I can land that kind of trade, I'll be pretty happy going forward, because this guy's getting a shit ton of targets. Bryce Young is not looking at anyone else on the field other than Adam Thielen, and I don't see that changing this year because the rest of the options are pretty shitty. So,
I mean, can he see anybody else on the field besides Thielen?
He sees the field pretty fucking well. Shut up.
I agree with you on Thielen. I even am trading for him in a few spots in Dynasty. Getting back to the name recognition, would you trade a guy like T. Higgins for Thielen in redraft this year?
I'd go into that again, trying to get the plus just off the name and the team, and someone banking on the Bengals being better. But yeah, I'd probably would take that straight up in a redraft league and go get, yeah, for sure.
All right. I'm trying to see somebody else besides Higgins that's kind of been down. I was going to say Waddle, but I wouldn't even do that because there's going to be games that Waddle's going to be up.
Yeah, he'll have like a 50 burger at some point.
Yeah, just the way it works. Maybe what about Chris Godwin?
I'd rather have Thielen. I just think there's no other options in Carolina, where in Tampa, he's still fighting with Mike Evans. And like, yeah, Waddle's fighting with Hill, but that offense is so good that it doesn't really matter. Unless it's a really good player on a really good team, I'd probably take Adam Thielen over most of like Davante Adams is probably the borderline of it just because he's still Davante Adams, but hasn't been produced in the last few weeks. So we'll see.
How about Chris Olave, who's also the one on that team?
Yeah.
Kind of got into a slow start, but he is starting to pick it up a little bit.
I'd want.
Would you trade him straight up, or would you want something with him?
I'd probably try to package it with a lesser running back and get a higher running back. If I was sending the Olave side just to sweeten it a little bit, but I think if you're just going apples for apples in a vacuum, you'd want the Thielen production. Obviously, he's been better, and I don't see that slowing down unless he gets hurt. So,
right,
yeah, I could take the names out of it, probably, yeah, which is kind of scary to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a 31-year-old.
Stop asking the Panthers fan who he's going to take this Panthers receiver over.
No, no, I don't skewed. Disagree with you. That's
I'm trying to look at it and be like, yeah, but it's I don't know.
Oh, he's 33. He's not even 31.
Right. He's old, man. For football.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you took a good overview of the whole situation there.
Yeah.
So I would do the same with that. The only other person, I mean, Waddle, I mean, you can just look at his like target reception recently, and it just seems like it's on the rise. But at the same time, I don't know what it is. I feel like Waddle is just going to be a little more costly than Thielen just based on name and the offense and how the Dolphins are looking. Like Thielen's one of those people. It's like people see the numbers that he's like doing every week, but then they look at the name and the age and they're like, he's probably going to get hurt or something's probably going to happen. So I feel like the value is just a little bit less. And so he's easier to target.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan, who do you have that you're targeting at wide receiver?
So I've been kind of looking at him all year, and all I've seen is production. It's Jakobi Meyers. Like, he's just that guy in that offense. And I understand everybody's like timid about Adams always getting all the looks, but Meyers seems to be that dude for Garoppolo. And if they keep going forward, like, he's that just constant PPR machine for them. And honestly, he's good. Every time I watch him play, he's a good, great receiver. So, just passes the eye test. I feel like he's going to be cheaper than most people think when they're trying to trade for him, because a lot of people still bench him every week for some reason versus like other people that have a higher upside, I guess.
Yeah, no, I, being a New England fan, I like Jakobi Meyers. Sad to see him go, and I'm glad he's being successful in Las Vegas. For me, with that, it kind of depends on where the quarterback situation goes. If it's Hoyer, sure, I'm fine with that because Jakobi's still going to have some work. Adams is going to get some work. If it's the rookie, I'm not real sure because we don't know who he's going to use yet. But definitely, you know, somebody that you can keep an eye on for a couple weeks in that situation, and you know, probably get for a pretty reasonable price because he's another guy that people are just ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
So my guy is Amari Cooper. Right now in our leagues, he's the wide receiver 39. He's played 5 games. He's got 2 games over 100 yards, another one at 90 yards. And like 2 of those have been without Deshaun Watson. So, you know, at some point when he's back, I think that'll be good for Cooper, but he's still eating well. He's getting passes from Dorian Thompson-Robinson and P.J. Walker. So he's got a little bit easier schedule coming up for a couple of games. And, you know, right in the middle, they get Pittsburgh, Denver, the Rams and Jacksonville. So, and then in the fantasy playoffs, you got Chicago, Houston, and the Jets, which, depending on injuries to those teams and their secondaries, might be good matchups for Cooper. And I don't think he's somebody you're going to have to spend a lot for because, you know, he has gotten kind of a slow start and he's so far down people's lists that, you know, he's at 120-point game. I think people are willing to let him go for a reasonable price.
Yeah, I think he's been quite consistent. I mean, he even played well during the rookie, right? I mean, he did all right last week.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys. It's the same kind of feel I have for actually all three of these guys. So Thielen, Myers, Cooper, there's just those dependent PPR people that are just, they catch the balls. They may not get, sometimes they can explode for a lot of yards. Sometimes it's just, you know, just the catches and everything in between. But they're consistent. They do what they need to do. And the only worry about all three of them is they're all three injury prone at times.
They are. They definitely are. So let's roll into tight ends. There's not a whole lot, you know, to be excited about, to want to trade for outside of the top few tight ends. But, you know, there's still a few names out there that are starting to get some target share and, you know, might be guys that are worth taking a stab at. Ryan, who's your tight end?
Oh, Dalton Schultz is my guy right now. I picked him up off the waivers, 2 weeks ago, and he's just made me happy ever since. I don't know what is up with Stroud, but he's looking like the best rookie out there, and he loves his tight ends in these last couple of weeks. So I would definitely go to pick him up right now, at least for streaming-wise. I think he's going to be fine. And then even towards the end of the year, you never know. He could pick up even more because he was consistent with the Cowboys as well. So I think he's just that dude right now. So I definitely would pick him up. And then he's usually on the waiver wires in almost every league I've been in so far. So you can get him cheap. If not, you can trade for him even cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some very favorable matchups coming up between week 8 and week 14. So he's a guy that I have drafted a lot of, and so fortunately I don't have to go trade for him, but he's up to tight end 7. He's had 3 really good weeks at the position, and he's getting the targets, you know, 7, 10, and he's over 50% snaps, so he's definitely out there, and he is a target for Stroud. Ben?
Yeah, I got Michael Mayer out of Vegas. Obviously, slow start to the season as a rookie, but he's been picking it up the last couple weeks. His target share seems to be going up. He's made some nice plays. They seem to be enjoying using him. That could definitely seem to continue. I like the kid. I thought he was a good draft prospect coming out. And the tight end landscape's pretty barren. He was probably available on some waivers, or you can get for pretty cheap to fill in for some tight end spots. He's got Chicago, and then he's got Detroit, but then he's got the Giants, Jets. His schedule isn't too bad going forward. I'm a big fan of this kid, and I've watched a bunch of the Raiders games lately because I have a lot of Josh Jacobs, Myers, and Adams shares. So seeing the guy that's been poaching a lot of their targets is definitely have me intrigued, and that's why I'm kind of looking at him.
Yeah, he's another guy that I grabbed late in a few drafts just to see what would happen because I liked the opportunity he was rolling into a little more than I did with Kincaid. And, you know, Laporta went in a lot of spots before I was able to get him. So definitely somebody who's becoming more involved in the offense. And I definitely think it's something that somebody you can get for a pretty, pretty cheap price if he's even picked up. You know, because this week in waivers, people probably started picking him up. But a lot of leagues I know, he's still unknown, so. There's definitely that chance.
I was going to say, their coach even said, you know, they're going to start trying to get him more involved. So you can see that in these last 2 weeks. He went from 3 targets to 6. So hopefully that keeps going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised with it being McDaniels and the fact that they drafted him. It's taken this long to get him involved in the offense. But maybe it was a thing where he was struggling to pick up some of the schemes or something like that. But I do expect for him to continue to be involved, just given the history of the coach. So the guy that I'm picking is also a rookie, and Luke Musgrave for Green Bay. Another guy that's really not owned, but he's on the field. You know, he's started out getting 75% of the snaps, kind of died off a little bit in the last couple of weeks. He's down around 70%, but they're coming off their bye. They've got Denver. They got Minnesota. Both of those games should be, games where there's going to be a lot of air yards, and maybe he can even get his first touchdown. But I like the fact that he's getting targets when he's on the field. I like the fact that he's got opportunity to be on the field, 70 or more percent of the time, which usually will translate into some targets. And, with the garbage time and the numbers that Love's putting up, the target's got to go somewhere. So I think there's a good chance that he can at least, get you 8 to 10 points a week. And then if he can get in the end zone here and there, you get a good week from the tight end.
I got to tell you, I love this year a little bit with the tight end area, just because it's like, it seems like, I mean, just to point out the obvious too, with Laporta over in with the Lions in Detroit, and then with Luke Musgrave, as you just mentioned, they're getting these targets and they're being involved a lot more than most rookie tight ends ever were. I mean, Kyle Pitts was an anomaly back then when he was got his 1,000-yard season. So it's kind of cool. I feel like we're getting a little changing of the guard. People are getting more involved a little bit faster. But yeah, those are also rebuilding teams a little bit. I mean, besides the Lions, I mean, they're just young and awesome. So
yeah. Most definitely. Just a quick, fun tight end fact. Evan Engram is the tight end 6 right now.
Yeah.
Has no touchdowns. No touchdowns, believe it or not.
He's been a good target, though. They've been using him a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't even know that.
He has the same number of catches as Kelsey, 40 less yards, and Kelsey's got 3 touchdowns. So everybody that's ahead of him has 3 touchdowns, except Hockenson, who has 2. But he's definitely getting the targets. He's getting the looks. And he's another sneaky guy that you could probably, if you don't own him, you could go out and get him. He's somebody that we talked about all off season and, earlier in the first couple of weeks on the show. So hopefully you have him. If not, he might be another guy that's worth going out to get, because, if he starts getting some touchdowns, those numbers are going to jump him way up the charts. So that will finish us up for, our midseason trade targets, and we will jump into the magical world of Fantasy Football Chronicles. All right, so week 6 saw all 3 of us, me, Ben, and Diego, all 3 going, 3 correct and 2 wrong. We just had different ones on the TJ Hockenson, more or less, and Cole Kmet. We were all in agreement. We all had more. Yeah, and so that one was more. On the second question, DeAndre Swift, more or less, total yards, and Breece Hall. That was actually less. Mm-hmm. Ben, you had that one right. Diego and I got it wrong. The next one, Stephon Diggs had at least 100 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown.
So close.
He did not. No touchdown.
Exactly 100 yards.
Yeah. Exactly 100 yards, but no touchdown. So I had that one right. You and Diego had that wrong. Yeah. Herbert, better or worse, quarterback 6.5. He was better. Yeah. He was a quarterback 5. And we all 3 picked that one. and number of quarterbacks to throw at least 4 passing touchdowns over under of 0.5. And that one was under. Diego got that one. So those were the ones that we all missed. The love potion was a player to
get a touchdown.
Get a touchdown. You had CMC. Mm-hmm. And he hit. Diego had Mostert. I believe he hit.
3 times.
Yeah. And I had Addison.
You know, Ben and Diego, both of you, Diego and you, Ben, you guys definitely reached on those ones.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the way we do this is, we don't all 3 pick the same person. So I ended up going with Addison, and he also hit. So
beautiful.
Yeah, that one, that was 3 good. 3 on that one. Wasn't that a weird touchdown for him, remember? No, yeah, no, he got a good one. No,
yeah, he got a good one. But, I mean, that saved his fantasy day because he had 3 catches for 28 yards.
Yeah, dude, I thought that game was going to be so much different.
Yeah. Yeah, I going in, I thought that pick for Addison was, easy money. I figured, oh, he's going to have a couple of those, no problem. Wrong. So... All right, so hopefully you guys did well on your booth this week as well. Just for point of reference, Ryan is a former member of the magical world of fantasy football, and still trying to talk him into coming back. So maybe next year we can drag him in.
And the original 10th league member.
Yeah.
For what, like 3 years? Yeah.
All right, so week 7 questions. First question, Travis Etienne, more or less yards, total yards, more or less total yards than Alvin Kamara? Ryan?
More. He's been killing it. Definitely improved his game a lot, so definitely more.
All right, Ben?
Yeah, I took the more as well. I think this is going to be close. I think the Saints have a better defense than the Jags do, but I think Travis Etienne gets used more. Despite my wantings, I think Lawrence will probably play, and that'll help with better quarterback play. Stick with this. I've been wavering. I'm going to stick with Etienne. I think it'll be close, but I think he'll pull it out.
I've also been wavering, and I've talked myself into going with Kamara. They're both, both good running backs, and Etienne has been doing well. The 2 touchdowns the last 2 weeks have really helped him. But I think Kamara is getting more of the rushing work. And all things being equal, I think he's probably going to get more yards. It's going to be close, like you said, but I do think he's going to end up, with more total yards. Because the touchdowns won't help Etienne with this one, because it's not total points, it's just yards. Yeah. And I think Kamara is going to get that.
I want to just jump in here. I want to find it because I saw it earlier on Twitter and I actually was like kind of amazed by it. Is I saw a stat that I believe is accurate, is that Travis Etienne has the most broken tackles this entire year. I think that's 16 or something around that range. And then the next under him is 12 with David Montgomery.
No, he's definitely it took him a couple of games to really get going, but he's been going the last couple of weeks, and he's running like a man on fire. So he very easily could get the total yards just in rushing.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the hardest part. And it's weird because Etienne is like a receiving back from college.
He is,
I don't even know what happened with that.
Trevor Lawrence doesn't dump to him. That's the thing. He's not that kind of quarterback. So, all right. Next question, Sam Laporta, more or less receiving yards than Mark Andrews? Ben?
Yeah, I took the more on this one. Laporta's been fire. Mark Andrews has been okay. I think Detroit has a better defense than the Ravens do. And I think the Lions throw the ball more than the Ravens do. So that's all leads to me to think Laporta will get more yards, have more targets, and more opportunity for those yards. This could be Mark Andrews' week. We'll see. But I'm going to stick with the rookie staying hot and leading the category.
All right, Ryan.
So I was like kind of going over the numbers. I mean, I put more for Mark Andrews just because it's eventually I just think he's going to get his and, you know, coming off an injury, you know, even though Sam Laporta, you know, he got his touchdown and everything. I just think he'll get less than Mark Andrews this year, even though from I just kind of was looking up some stats here on tight ends and it looks like Lions, there's only one team that had 132 yards, which was Seattle. I guess against them for total tight end yards or something. Well, at least that's what I'm seeing here. I kind of don't believe that, but yeah, I'm giving it to Mark Andrews.
All right. I'm also going to take the more side for Sam Laporta. Andrews isn't the number one target anymore for Lamar. It's Zay Flowers. And it's interesting watching Lamar, you know, go through progressions now, which is kind of weird to say, but you know, he looks at Andrews. Andrews is, can be open and he's not dumping him like he did in the past as often. So while there's still some targets there and definitely, you know, one pass can turn into a big day for him. I still think I'm going to go with the rookie in the offense that is on fire and is throwing the ball around quite a bit and is going to have to pass more this week with Montgomery being out. So talking about high-flying passing offenses, we will get to the third question. And Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown both finish as top 12 wide receivers. Ryan.
I said, yeah, definitely. A.J. Brown is the guy for the Eagles, and we already know who Tyreek Hill is by this time. So I think that was an easy yes. Layup.
Yeah, so this was probably one of the most fun primetime games we'll have this year. Tyreek Hill's pretty much a lock for top five every week. Unless he gets cramped, nothing seems to be in his way. No one seems to be able to cover him. And Waddle just takes a lot of coverage away from him as well. So Tyreek Hill is going to be up there. And A.J. Brown is separating himself from Devontae Smith every week. Going forward, it looks like he just continues to look like the guy that Hurts wants to hit first. And then both of these teams are struggling on the defensive side of the ball through the air. The Eagles keep losing guys in their secondary, and the Dolphins are a little bit beat up as well, obviously missing Ramsey. So I think both these guys are locks for top 12.
Yeah, I mean, A.J. Brown's coming off of four straight weeks of 125 yards or more.
Yeah.
And Tyreek is Tyreek. He's going to find a way to be in the top 12. If not the top five. So I'm also going to say yes. I think this is – it's probably a trap, but I think this is the easiest one of the last couple of weeks. Next one, Kirk Cousins, more or less fantasy points than Brock Purdy. Ben.
So I'm taking more, and this is on the caveat that Christian McCaffrey doesn't play. And I think the Vikings will have to throw the ball more in this game to try to come back because I think they're going to get their asses kicked. So garbage time fantasy points still count. So give me Kirk Cousins in this one.
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, at least this year, the Vikings are just a passing team only. So I think that's all they got, and they'll keep throwing more and more and more. And especially with the 49ers, they're probably going to be in the lead, and they're going to have to pass even more. So the running game will be less, and Kirk Cousins will just rack up those garbage time with the loss on Monday.
All right. I'm taking Kirk Cousins to have less fantasy points than Brock Purdy. I mean, Cousins has been pedestrian the last 3 weeks. You can definitely tell that he doesn't have Justin Jefferson out there. It's definitely affecting him. They're going against a good defense in San Francisco. And he's going to have to pass because they can't get their running game going. But, he threw for 180 yards last week against Chicago, which was another game that they should have had to pass quite a bit. 280 against Kansas City, and he only had two touchdowns there. I just don't see, more than 20 points, and I think Purdy should be able to do that. It's kind of where his averages is just above that, 21, 22 points a week. So I'm going to give the edge to Purdy, because I think if CMC's out, then he's definitely going to have to throw the ball. And then the last question is quarterbacks to throw at least 3 interceptions over and under 0.5. Ben?
Oh, over. I think there was 5 just injured quarterbacks just from last weekend alone that we talked about today that all have backups that are underwhelming and not rookies looking to come in and take a spot. Like, most of them are just journeymen or guys we haven't heard of coming in. I think, and the quarterback play seems to have been down at least last week. That could continue. 3 interceptions doesn't seem like too much in a passing league. And you only need one of these guys to do it out of like 5 or 6 guys coming in off the bench. So, I could see 3 interceptions from at least 2 guys, which we only need 1 to be over here. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I'm also going to take the over on that one. Ryan?
I would agree. Ben, you said it accurately right there.
All right. Then the special item for this week is Liquid Luck. And this is pick a quarterback to throw a touchdown and the wide receiver, running back, or tight end that will catch it. If you only get the quarterback right or the wide receiver, running back, tight end right, you do not win this week. So, Ben, tell us your deep dive for quarterback.
With these extra games, I don't like to play around with them. I like to take what I think is going to be the sure thing, like I did last week with CMC. Taking the dart throws kind of has burned me a little bit, and everybody can take the same one in these games. So I've taken Mahomes, Kelsey. Mahomes is going to throw touchdowns, and there's really not that many guys on the Chiefs that can catch touchdowns. They still put them up, but the only one to do it really consistently on that team is Kelsey. He seems to get in the end zone what feels like every week, and always has a lot of work, a big workload. He's usually a lock for a touchdown every week. So yeah, give me the Mahomes Kelsey stack.
Yeah, that one should be, the top choice, I would think, this week. Ryan, you have a different group.
Yeah, I'm doing the Stafford Cup connection. I feel like it's easy money right there. They just seem to always come together and make a touchdown. So, especially, let's see here. I actually am off base right here. They are playing the... Sorry about that, guys. Oh, wait, they're on a bye. Are they on a bye this week?
Steelers.
Oh, they got the Steelers. I haven't seen that. But, yeah, definitely. I think they're going to just finds a way to make it happen, and Stafford is competent enough to keep going and going as long as he doesn't break his back.
Leave it to Ryan to pick a team that's on bye.
Yeah, I was like, shit.
No, I definitely think that's another good choice. Cup is back, and he's definitely Stafford's favorite target. Puka hasn't really faded, but you can tell that he's looking for Cup first. So my pairing is Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill. I mean, that connection has just been there. This is another low hanging fruit, I think. So it's probably another trap, but I mean, given the number of teams on bye, like you can't pick you can't pick Burrow and Chase this week. You can't pick Tannehill and D-Hop. Like, I mean, it's big names that are that aren't playing this week.
Get out of here. Tannehill. I was like, where the hell are you going with this one?
I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, Tannehill, he could throw a touchdown to D-Hop.
He's more likely to throw a touchdown to the other team.
You know, but yeah, more likely. So, but I mean, there are a few good options that are out this week that, that potentially could get them. But yeah, these questions, like you said, Ben, I don't want to get cute with them. I want to pick guys that have a significant advantage at meeting the criteria and take that. If it doesn't hit, it doesn't hit, but at least I gave it, you know, I don't feel like I was gambling so much as I was putting up an educated guess. So I think that's going to do it for the show for this week. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming in to cover for Diego. We'll have to figure out how to pay the ransom so we can get him back next week, but that's a problem for the weekend. Any parting words for our listeners?
Well, I'm always happy to join on here. It's fun. It's always a great time with both of you. And if anybody ever wants to reach out for a good trade or some talk about some fantasy or advice, hit me up with RyeBread03. Again, that's RyeBread03. And yeah, get ready. At least in some of our leagues that we're with together, I'm pretty much going to kick ass. If I get a QB in one of them, the one more league? I think like I'm going to rock that.
I see you looking for one there. I mean, I don't know why you won't take Tyrod.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you got Brian Hoyer. What are you worried about? You're going to be fine.
That's all I could grab.
I know. I mean, well,
I hope they pick him.
Nobody's going to give you a quarterback. So at least you got your handcuff. You know what I mean? So
I got to say, I've even offered Diggs a couple people and they're like, nah, I'm good.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
All right. I'm just like, shit. Yeah, I'm just going to have to go through. I should have took a deal that I was offered by some person that was like, oh, I'll give you Deion Jones, you know, DJ Daniel over Jones. Here. Daniel Jones, my bad. Yeah, Daniel Jones. I'll give you DJ and we'll make a good trade here. And I mean, I probably should have accepted that. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just going to put this out there. DJ may still be available in that league. Especially
I don't even want to know what he's going to cost.
especially for Diggs. If Diggs is on the table, Daniel Jones is available. Because I'm getting Kyler back too, so there's also that.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So, Ben, parting words for the listeners?
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, as always, for listening. Ryan, thanks for joining us tonight, taking over for Diego. I'm not sure how many leagues we have together that we can get some trades going, but it'd definitely be nice to land one this year. Anyone else out there looking for trades, looking for some advice, looking to just chat some fantasy football, anything like that, at Rockstar12 on Sleeper, 2Ks, 2Rs. Looking forward to this week. It's one of those weeks where I've said fuck it and I'm starting whoever I want. It looks kind of ugly across the board. Numbers are down, but I'm hoping lots of guys they go over their projections and we get some good scores this week. So keep your head up. If you're down there in the bottom of the standings looking to make a move, this is the week that you could get your win that you need just to spark your season. So keep it going.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Ben. You know, these are the weeks where you got to manufacture wins. People who are 2-4 a lot of times give up way too early. And, you know, you might be able to work a nice deal or, you know, find that guy on waivers that somebody dropped because it's a bye week. And, you know, you're going to be able to start them this week or next week. So this is the time to really put the work in and, you can really turn your season around in these middle weeks, 7, 8, 9, and even week 10. So, Solinator, if you want to find me on Sleeper, you can send us a question for the show. Our email, dddffpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. We have a Facebook page. We also have our Patreon, where we're still giving away that Antonio Brown signed Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey to one of our lucky subscribers over Thanksgiving. $5 tier gets you one entry, and you can have as many entries as you want. Obviously, we're more than happy to accept the support. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. Sorry it's going to be out a little bit later than usual, but with Diego not being available, and I had some stuff from work last night, so we had to push it out a little bit. But we'll get it out to you as soon as we can, sometime tomorrow. And wish you good luck this week, and thanks for listening, and good night.